Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Jaya jaya Sri Chaitanya jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 10, Text 136. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Should be put on the board or screen. Eta Shuni Sarvabhoma Prabhure Puchila Puri Gosai Shudra Sevaka Kahe To Rakhilo. Leave it now. It's too late. Eta shuni sarva bhoma prabhure puchilo. Puri goshai shudra shebok kahe to rakhilo. Eta shuni sarva bhoma prabhure puchilo. Puri goshai shudra shebok kahe to rakhilo.
Eta shuni sarvabhoma prabhure puchila.
Eta shuni sarvabhoma prabhure puchila.
Puri gosami shudra sevaka kane tara rakhila.
Puri gosami shudra sevaka kane tara rakhila.
Eta shuni sarvabhoma prabhure puchila.
Eta shuni sarvabhoma prabhure puchila. Puri gosai shudra sevaka kane
tara rakhila. Puri
gosai shudra
sevaka kane tara rakhila.
Puri gosai shudra kane tara rakhila.
Eta shuni sarvabhoma prabhure puchila.
Eta shuni sarvabhoma prabhure puchila.
Puri gosai shudra sevaka kane tara rakhila.
Puri gosai shudra sevaka kane tara rakhila.
Ladies, please.
Eta shuni sarvabhoma prabhure puchila.
Eta shuni sarvabhoma prabhure puchila.
Eta shuni, hearing this, sarvabhoma, sarvabhoma bhattacharya, prabhure, unto the Lord, puchilo, inquired, puri goshai, ishvarapuri, shudra shevak, a servant who is a shudra, Kaheto. Why? Rakhilo. Kept. After hearing this, Savabhoma Bhattacharya asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why did Ishvara Puri keep a servant who comes from a Shudra family? Purport. Both Kashishvara and Govinda were personal servants of Ishvara Puri. After Ishvara Puri's demise, Kashishvara went to visit all the holy places of India. Following the orders of his spiritual master, Govinda immediately went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for shelter. Govinda came from a Shudra family, but because he was initiated by Ishvara Puri, he was certainly a Brahmana. Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya here asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu why Ishvara Puri accepted a disciple from a Shudra family. According to the Smriti Shastra, which gives directions for the management of the Varnashram institution, a Brahmana cannot accept a disciple from the lower castes. In other words, a Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra cannot be accepted as a servant. If a spiritual master accepts such a person, he is contaminated. Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya therefore asked why Ishvara Puri accepted a servant or disciple born of a Shudra family. In answer to this question, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that his spiritual master Ishvara Puri was so empowered that he was as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As such, Ishvara Puri was the spiritual master of the whole world. He was not a servant of any mundane rule or regulation. An empowered spiritual master like Ishvara Puri can bestow his mercy upon anyone, irrespective of caste or creed. The conclusion is that an empowered spiritual master is authorized by Krishna and his own guru and should therefore be considered as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. That is the verdict of Vishwanath Chakravarti, Sakshadharitvena. An authorized spiritual master is as good as Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Hari is free to act as he likes, the empowered spiritual master is also free. As Hari is not subject to mundane rules and regulations, the spiritual master empowered by him is also not subject. According to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Shakti Bina Nahe Ta Pravartana. An authorized spiritual master empowered by Krishna can spread the glories of the holy name of the Lord, for he has the power of attorney from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the mundane world, anyone possessing his master's power of attorney can act on behalf of his master. Similarly, a spiritual master empowered by Krishna through his own bona fide spiritual master should be considered as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. That is the meaning of Sakshadharitvena. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore describes the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his bona fide spiritual master as follows. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Nama Shreshtam Manum Api Shachiputram Atrasurupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Gurum Tam Natosmi. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yatav Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Savabhoma Bhattacharya represented the whole of India in terms of following smarter regulations. Of course, not everyone followed. There were non-Hindus. But within the Hindu system, the smarter regulations were most widely the normative for Hindus throughout India. And although Sarvabhauma has recently been converted to pure Vaishnavism by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are still some things for him to learn. Whoops. And therefore, he surprisingly raises the question, how could Ishwarapuri keep a Shudra as a servant? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the first statement in his reply to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Within this purport, Srila Prabhupada, as he does so many times, stresses that the spiritual master is to be considered by the disciple as having the quality sakshad haritvena, quoting from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Gurvashtaka, on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, the gurus will explain how that is to be understood, not that to be considered exactly like God himself. And this is, of course, spoken by Lord Krishna himself. Acharyang mang vijaniyan avamanyeta karhichitna martya buddhya asuyeta sarvadeva mayo guru hu. Lord Krishna, when describing the guru, here he's talking about the Varnashram system, he's talking about the brahmachari in the Gurukul, how he should see the Acharya. He should see him as good as Krishna, and not to be disrespected in any way, not to be considered an ordinary human being, not to be envied, because he is the sum total of all the demigods, or can be understood, the sum total of all saintly persons. The guru represents to the disciple. Represents means both in speaking, practice, and precept, and in practice, his behavior, the teachings of all the previous saintly persons. Yeah, practice, achinoti yashastrartam acharistapyatyapi svayam acharate yasmat acharyastena kirtitaha. And acharya is defined as one who has imbibed all the meanings of shastra and by personally follows that, so by his behavior he teaches others, by his behavior and by his speaking, teaches others to follow that. This might seem a very convenient or self-serving statement to make for someone who's about to give initiation or someone who's in the role of a guru, that I'm supposed to be initiating today, and who am I to initiate? Considering that jagai madhai hoite muito papishta purishe kito hoite muishe logishta jemora nam shune tara punna koi jemora nam loi tara papa hoi. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote this Trikala Darshi with myself in mind. That I am more sinful than Jagai Madhai. That's not a question of, that's not a poetical statement. Just the average person in the West, raised in Western culture, is more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. Of course, they weren't most people are not murderers or rapists, but cow killing is worse than all these things. And from what we know, the cow killing is Jagai Maithai weren't doing that. We didn't hear that in specifically. And then if we take a worm in stool, then I'm lower than a worm in stool. Anyone who hears my name, their pious activities are decreased. And anyone who says my name, he becomes sinful by doing so. So yeah, nothing special about my life before I was admitted into Srila Prabhupada's movement. Nothing special, and I wasn't born in a very pious family and all this kind of thing. Just an ordinary idiot and wasting my life committing sinful activities every day as a matter of course, throughout the day. Just normal culture, right? It's just what we do. So who am I to initiate? What is actually happening when I give a nation? What is going on? If I'm to answer, I have to say, I don't really know. Then what on earth are you doing? Krishna's mercy is inconceivable. There's a transmission of Krishna's mercy, which is, how can I understand this? How can I explain it? It's Krishna's mercy is more than we can all, combinedly bringing all our big brains, try to understand or try to formulate or define. You may say, well, who are you to give Krishna's mercy? And then you may say, well, then in reply, then who are you to say that Krishna's mercy is limited to what you think should be the proper format for the transmission of that mercy? How is Krishna consciousness going to spread all over the world if only pure brahmanas, who you can hardly find anyway in India, if pure brahmanas from India, yeah, it would have been good if they'd have all come over and preached in the West, but they didn't. So what to do? Should Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement just be stalled until the next day of Brahma, and then hopefully some pure brahmanas will actually take up Krishna consciousness and preach it all over the world? So it has to go on. The movement of Krishna consciousness has to go on. And as Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport, just backtrack a bit here, especially when we find the descriptions that a spiritual master is a resident of Golok Vrindavan, a spiritual master is a pure devotee of Krishna. And if I do some auto-psychoanalysis, I don't remember being in Golok Vrindavan recently already. And actually the results of my auto-psychoanalysis, I wouldn't want to tell you. It's just as if I think of my previous life before I came to Krishna consciousness, it makes me wince. And it wasn't that I just immediately, overnight, it doesn't happen like that. Maybe in some rare cases that someone immediately becomes a pure devotee when they have so much bad baggage. So what am I doing giving initiation? Isn't it a cheating process? Well, Srila Prabhupada writes here, in the mundane world, anyone possessing his master's power of attorney can act on behalf of his master. So if you're given the power of attorney, then you can act on behalf of the master. So to give the power of attorney means, who gives the power of attorney means they trust that person sufficiently to represent the individual who gives the power of attorney. So that should be done. Devotees should take the responsibility of carrying forward the movement that Srila Prabhupada inaugurated in the Western world, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated throughout India, and that Srila Prabhupada inaugurated on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Western world, that should be carried on. And of course, some people say, well, no one's qualified, so it's Ritvikism. But that's imagination and speculation, as Maheshwar Prabhu, if anyone had any doubts, he cleared them. Of course, the Ritvikvadis won't doubt it because they're entrenched in their ways. Maybe some of them will. From what I see, most people who are Ritvikvadis in the world today is because they came into Krishna consciousness via the Ritvikvadis. Not that they thought about it, and they came in and they said, this is the way it is, and then they accept the person who teaches them practically as a guru, because they're interpreting Prabhupada for them, saying that only Prabhupada is initiating. So one of the roles of the guru is to explain and represent his guru. So you're doing that. You're taking the role of a guru. If you say that this is Prabhupada's position and this is my position in relation to you, and this is your relationship, in this is how your relationship is with him, you're interpreting Srila Prabhupada. And so you're practically acting as a guru. And I'm sure Maheshwar Prabhu told you all this. You'll see sitting on a big Vyasasan, giving the beads, giving the name, accepting obeisances, not returning obeisances, and say, I'm just doing it on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. Well, that's what I say too. I'm doing, giving. Every guru will never say, I am the savior of the world. No one comes to God except through me. You'll say, I'm doing this on behalf of my guru. The difference between someone who acts as what Srila Prabhupada called a regular guru, I didn't make up that term, and one who claims to be a Ritvik priest on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, a major difference is that those who take the role of a regular guru, they take responsibility for the spiritual life of the disciple. There's the Ritvik, he's just someone who's appointed for a ceremony, that's all. So that is expected. It's just like a man has children and the children are expected to become parents. It's the natural progression. That's how the Vansh Parampara continues. So in the same way, children become older, and they're supposed to become responsible, and that is considered a duty in Vedic society for parents to have children and to train them to be responsible human beings and to marry and have children and train their children to be responsible human beings. And that's the way the culture continues in society. Not that it's changed all the time. This is the modern idea. It has to change. Everything should change all the time. But stability, following the Vedic culture, this is the right culture. So that the idea is not to change it. Let's see what we can change. The idea is to preserve it. And when there are aberrations arise, that should be corrected. But basically, the same culture is to be continued. Not that there is to be some massive change, some new idea. This Mataji Kamalini was raising this question of not wanting to give blessings. Of course you have to give blessings. That's what older people do. When you're young, you seek blessings from seniors, and when you're older, you give blessings. And that's just normal, that's all. You may think, I'm not fit to give blessings. Well, if you're following, then it's understood that you're getting the mercy of Krishna by following, and you should bless others to also get that mercy. And that's approaching seniors in that way. It's good for the juniors to learn that culture that we're not. There are many disadvantages of being raised in this democratic and supposedly egalitarian Western culture, where we think that there's something wrong with seniors giving blessings to juniors. Of course, we don't find that Srila Prabhupada stressed so much giving blessings as, or seeking blessings as service. The main thing is not to go to a guru and ask for blessings. The main thing is to ask for guidance and service. So blessings shouldn't be considered some cheap cop-out that you give the blessings and I'll get everything I want just by your mercy, but you have to do your work also. And yeah, it's a responsibility to be in senior in human society. One is supposed to set the example for juniors. But in the contemporary society, especially in the Western world, because there's so much emphasis on sense gratification, older people are useless because they can't enjoy sense gratification, and they don't work and they don't contribute to the economy. And they're worse than useless because they're just parasites. And the sooner they die, the better. Pull out your vaccines. And what the hell do we... They're useless people, you see. I can run faster. I can jump higher. I can work harder. What's the use of all these old people? Well, old people are supposed to contribute their wisdom. But of course, old people these days, they're not wise because they never cultivated any wisdom in their whole life. They just cultivated stupidity. And so when they're older, they're still trying to enjoy like a young person. And I recently saw someone sent me something like they did a survey of adults in America, and especially among the men. Most men over 80 are still sexually active. I don't know how they do it. And even the ones who are not sexually active are mentally, they're watching pornography and leering at the pretty girls and who knows what. So they never got beyond the stage of being a dog or a cat. So why would you want to approach anyone? Why would you give any respect to them anyway? Because they're just on the same level of stupidity as yourself, but you're able to indulge in that stupidity and they're not. So you are superior. But but older people are supposed to cultivate self-control, sense control in any civilized society, and to guide others by practice and precept. I'm talking about socially, minimally socially. And by their setting, they know they have to set a good example, because otherwise they're doing a disservice to the younger generation by setting a bad example. And those who do set a good example, they are to be honored for doing so. And that reinforces the consciousness of how we should live. So it's a responsibility to be an elder and to bless and to guide. Okay, but what about being a guru? That's another whole dimension, isn't it? To be a spiritual guru. In this regard, I'm going to read from a section of a transcript of a lecture by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's titled Assuming the Responsibility of Being Guru, in which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur addresses in his unique style. He's saying, how can I be a guru? He's saying. Now, from our perspective, how could he be anything but a guru? But at the time, it was controversial because he's not from the Brahmana caste. And you have to be a Brahmana to be a guru. Of course, he is a Brahmana, just like we read here, Ishvara Puri accepted. He initiated Govinda, who is from Shudra caste, and he accepted him as a personal servant. Uh, almost certainly, or at least we don't have any record of it, Govinda wasn't, and he wasn't given a Brahmanas thread or the Brahma Gayatri. He would have been given Pancharatrik mantras, Krishna mantras, but he's on the transcendental platform accepted as good as a Brahmana, or more. And on that consideration, Ishwara Puri accepted him as a servant. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was not from the Brahmana caste, and he was initiating. Even persons of non-Brahmana extraction. And this ruckus was being raised, as it had been some generations previously, by Narottam Das, who's in the same family line as that of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared in the same family line as Narottam Das. Of course, Narottam himself didn't have children. He was a celibate throughout his life, but his brother had children. So so coming in the same family line, and they're all Kayastas by background, which Kayastas are counted as Shudras, the highest class of Shudras in terms of intelligence and responsibility, very high in society, often having very high positions, like Ramananda Rai. He's also from the same background, very high position, but considered a Shudra because they accept service in governmental service, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur did, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did before, shortly after leaving his studies. So that was just expected. And during the British time, the ministers in the government and in the king's governments, the British time in India, they're all from Kayasta background. Some may have been from Brahmana background, but like Rupan Sanatan. But it said when Sanatan Goswami, he retired without declaring it, he retired from governmental service, then the lobhi Kayasta, the greedy Kayastas, they started doing their duties very attentively because they're interested to get his post. And it stated that actually a Kayasta did get his post. Anyway, it was a very controversial thing, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur addresses the issue. Now, it was controversial for him in Hindu society at the time. Then we may say, well, what about these Westerners? They're not Kayasta, they're not even Shudra. They're just way off the map, literally. Way, way off. And that was a big issue when Srila Prabhupada first brought Western disciples to India. Many people, many people really appreciated it, but many struggled with having them being initiated with Brahmana threads and with sannyas. They didn't appreciate that. And you can imagine why. They didn't know ordinary sadhachar. Srila Prabhupada said, sadhachar means proper social behavior. So Srila Prabhupada said once, if he especially wanted his disciples in Vrindavan to behave as sadhus should, because he said that if my disciples touch their lip to the glass when they're drinking, the whole of Vrindavan will criticize me, because you don't do that. That's just one of the innumerable rules of ordinary sadhachar. And I've heard Indian devotees, they say, well, at Mayapur festival time, the sannyasis come and they drink touching the lip when they're giving the class, and then they touch the Srimad Bhagavatam and they just can't relate to it. How there's a guru and doesn't even follow this, just can't relate to it. And our Western devotees were doing all kinds of things all the time, but Prabhupada said, no, they're sadhus, they're Vaishnavas, they're Brahmanas. Of course, Srila Prabhupada wanted to train. He wanted to create a new class of brahmanas. He wanted to train them. Just like when a boy at the age of whatever it is, according to the caste, and they'll be given the upanayanam, the ceremony in which the thread is offered. So that is supposed to, that's at a young age, usually 6 years or 8 years. And that after that, they're supposed to be admitted to this Gurukul for training. It's unusual to give Brahman initiation to someone who's 20 years old, what to speak of 60 years old. But anyway, it's going on in our society. Personally, I'd like to see much more rigid standards for Brahminical initiation instituted, or at least we should start moving toward that. Because you can't create a new class of brahmanas just by putting a thread on someone. It just doesn't, it's just not like zapping them with some electric shock and all of a sudden they become a brahmana. There's supposed to be training, and there's supposed to be eligibility for to train. They should be trainable. So usually it was by caste, by birth, because generally it's understood that one is born in a particular family because he's karmically suited to be born in that family. Although yata kanchanatam ya ti kangsyang rasa vidhana taha. What's the next line? Yata diksha vidhanena dridhatvam jayate nrinam. Yeah, Sanatana Goswami quoted that a person, a man, especially the word man is used as it is generally in Shastra, can be converted to or given second birth, attain the status of a twice born, in the same way that mercury can be converted into gold by an alchemical process. In other words, it's somewhat of a mystic process. It happens. We don't know exactly how it happens, but it can happen. So anyway, we should continue worshipping the deity. So sometimes we're obliged to give Brahminical initiation to persons who are not really living as brahmanas, but if we're going to have brahmanas, they should actually live as brahmanas, not simply have a thread. That's what Srila Prabhupada used to criticize the brahmanas in India. How do you know they're a brahmana? Because they have a thread. And what's their name? Sharma, Mishra, something like this. But there's a lot more to it than that. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted to have Gurukul and train from a young age. I'd like to see more rigid standards for Brahminical initiation. But like I say, deities are to be worshipped. Although in a lot of cases, when I give Brahminical initiation on the plea of that they will worship the deities, those who take the initiation simply join the ranks. They're already in the area, dozens of Brahminically initiated devotees who could serve the deities if they wanted to, but they don't want to. And they join the ranks of those who are supposed to be Brahmins and don't worship the deity. So those who are taking Brahminical initiation on the plea of worshipping the deity, please do so. Anyway, assuming the responsibility of being guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I'm just going to read this. Usually when we read a long passage, and this is about three pages and a bit more, devotees' attention, if at all they were listening, it tends to wander a bit. Somehow it's not so exciting to hear something that's being read. But this talk of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is so powerful that it's worth staying awake for. We have taken upon ourselves the responsibility of welcoming this grave charge. All in the audience have accepted ordinary seats. I alone have been provided with a lofty seat. All, in effect, are being told, have a look at a big animal from the zoo gardens. What arrogance! So foolish! So wicked! Have you ever seen such a big brute? Garlands of flowers have been put around his neck. What laudations! What bombastic, what bombastic, long-drawn, hyperbolic adjectives! And how himself is, that in itself, the statement is bombastic, long-drawn, hyperbolic. Is, and how complacently he is listening to the praise of his own achievements. How intently and with his own ears. Evidently he also feels delighted. Is he not acting in plain violation of the teaching of Mahaprabhu? Trinada Pisuni Chena and Amanina, these two. Can such a big brute, so selfish and insolent, ever be reclaimed from brutishness? He's presumably he's, because this is at a public lecture. This isn't a Vyasa Puja lecture. This is a public lecture in Cuttack, city in Orissa. And he's no doubt gauging the feelings of some of those who are listening. Please listen. Don't play around with your phone. Please just listen. I, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, and I'm reading it, he said about himself, I happen to be one of the greatest of fools. Do you agree? Anyone agree with him? We should accept Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Korea Aika. Is it? Now we have to have some intelligence to understand what is to be accepted and what isn't. Just like Srila Prabhupada once, the Patita Pavana, he was there's dal left over outside, been serving prasad the night before, and no one had cleaned it up. So Srila Prabhupada came to give class the next morning and saw all drops of dal all over the floor. And he was very upset that no one cleaned it up. And then Patita Pavana, to rectify the situation, he got out his penknife and started chipping away at it. And Prabhupada said, you should use it to cut your throat. So should he literally do it? No. Another time, Patita Pavana, in London, at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, said, there are so many rats running around here and there. Should we use some method to kill them? Prabhupada said, you should be killed. You should be killed. You should be killed. He said it three times. Is it to be taken literally? No. Okay. I happen to be one of the greatest of fools because of my arrogance. And definitely he was seen as arrogant by many, because he spoke so clearly and strongly. Because of my arrogance, no one offers me good advice. This is 1927, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur had passed away long, 1914, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, 1915. No one offers me good advice, inasmuch as nobody condescends to instruct me. It occurred to me that I should present my case to Mahaprabhu himself and see how he would advise me. Then Sri Chaitanya Dev said to me, whomever you meet, instruct him regarding Krishna, on my order become a guru and save this land. In this you will not be obstructed by the current of this world. You will have my company once again at this place. In these verses is found the proper explanation of the apparent inconsistency described above. He, whose only teaching is humility more than that of a blade of grass, said, by my command become a guru and save this land. In this instance, Mahaprabhu himself has given the decree, perform the duty of a guru even as I myself do. Convey this same instruction to whomsoever you chance to meet. Chaitanya Dev says, tell them these very words, on my order become a guru and save this land, deliver people from their foolishness. Now, whoever happens to hear these words would naturally protest with palms joined, but I'm really a great sinner. How can I be guru? You are Godhead himself, the Jagat Guru. Only you can be guru. To this, Mahaprabhu replies, in this you will not be obstructed by the current of the world. You will have my company once again at this place. Do not practice the occupation of a guru for the purpose of injuring others through malice. Do not adopt the livelihood of a guru to become immersed in the slough of this world. But if indeed you can be my guileless servant, you will be endowed with my power. That you need not fear. So, guileless, without doing it for any other motivation than to serve the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you can be my guileless servant, you will be endowed with my power. That you need not fear. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati continues, I have no fear. My Gurudev has heard this instruction from his Gurudev. And it is for this reason that my Gurudev accepted. Even such a great sinner as I, and told me, on my order become a guru and save this land. Only those who have never heard these words of Sri Gaurasundar say, how bizarre to listen to one's own praise. In their opinion, while the guru is instructing the disciple of the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, he is perpetuating a major sin. What is the acharya to do when he has to explain the verse acharyang mang vijaniyat? Never disregard the acharya or consider him your equal in any sense. These are the words of Sri Krishna himself, whereby the jiva is to be benefited. Is the guru to desert his seat, the seat of the acharya from which these words are to be explained? That office was conferred on him by his Gurudev. If he does not act up to its requirements, he is doomed to perdition for his offense against the holy name in the shape of disrespect toward the guru. He must execute his duty, notwithstanding such behavior being open to the charge of egoism. So what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying is that you, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, you're being so defiant of the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be more humble than a tree, but in reply, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order is also to be a guru, and this order I've received in parampara from my guru, and to fail to do that would be to disrespect the order of my guru. Then I'd become an offender by not carrying out that order. Continuing, when the guru imparts the mantra to his disciples, should he not tell him to worship the guru by that mantra? Should he instead say, give the guru a few strokes of the shoe or horsewhip? As some would like to do, it seems. The guru is never to be decried. The guru is the abode of all the gods. While reading from the Bhagavatam to his disciple, should the guru abstain from communicating these words to him? Only to him who possesses guileless spiritual devotion to the guru, similar to that offered to Krishna himself, are the holy mysteries manifested. Yasya deve para bhakti yatha deve tatha guru tasyaite katitahyata prakashante mahatmanaha. Is the guru not to tell these things to his disciples? Ado guru puja. The worship of the guru has precedence over all others. The guru is to be served. Just as Krishna is served, the guru is to be worshipped in a particular way. Is the guru to desert his seat without telling all these things to the disciple? In the angle, there is always the defect in the shape of absence of fullness, the evenness of level of 180 degrees less than 360 degrees, but in the plane surface in 360 degrees, there is no such defect. Ordinary foolish people fail to grasp the simple truth that in the emancipated state no defect is possible. As the saying goes, having begun the dance, it is no use to draw the veil. That's a Bengali saying, that the girl comes onto stage. It's a dancing performance. The young girl comes on stage. It's not for high-class girls, but and it's not for high-class men to watch either. But if she comes and on stage and she sees, she recognizes so many of her superiors. So in the Vedic culture, at least as it was practiced in Bengal at that time, if a girl comes into the presence of a senior male, she covers her head, covers her face with the veil. So if you came to dance on stage, it means the men came to gawk at your body and you're dancing. So you're going to pull the veil and be shy. It's contradictory. So, citing this example, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur continues, I'm doing the duty of a guru, yet if I preach that no one should shout jai to me, that is, if I merely say in a roundabout way, sing jai to me, it would be nothing short of duplicity. Our Gurudev has not taught us such insincerity. Neither has Mahaprabhu taught such insincerity. I must serve Bhagavan in a straightforward manner. The word of Bhagavan has come down through the Guru. I have to obey it in all sincerity. I will not disrespect the Guru at the insistence of any foolish or malicious sectarians, especially since Sri Gurudev has directed me, on my order, become a Guru and save this land. My Gurudev has taught this command and in turn conveyed it to me. I will not be guilty of any insincerity in carrying out that command. In this matter, I will not accept the ideal of ignorant, insincere, pseudo-ascetic sectarianism. I will not learn insincerity. The worldly-minded, the malicious, the false renunciants, and the selfish cannot understand how the devotees of Bhagavan, kicking out everything of this world by the command of Bhagavan, throughout the 24 hours never deviate, not even for a second, from service to God. Hypocritical sectarians and pseudo-Vaishnavs who internally cherish the longing for earthly fame will naturally think, what a shame it is for one occupying the seat of the Guru to listen to the eulogies of disciples. But every Vaishnava regards all other Vaishnavas as the object of his veneration. When Thakur Haridas exhibited an attitude of extreme humility, Mahaprabhu said, you are the greatest of the world, the crest jewel. Please let us have our meal together. He carried in his arms the Satchidananda form of Thakur Haridas. In the community that follows Sri Rupa, the qualities of desiring no honor for oneself and readiness to duly honor others are fully present. Those who detect any disparity are, like the owl, blind while the sun shines. By such conduct, they commit offense. If I disobey the law that has come down to me through the chain of preceptorial succession, the offense of neglecting to carry out the order of the Guru will sever me from the lotus feet of Sri Gurudev. If to carry out the command of the Vaishnava Guru I have to be arrogant or brutish or suffer eternal perdition, that means eternal residence in hell, I am prepared to welcome such eternal damnation and even sign a contract to that effect. I will not listen to the words of malicious persons in lieu of the command of Sri Gurudev. I will dissipate with indomitable courage and conviction the currents of thought of the rest of the world, relying on the strength derived from the lotus feet of Sri Gurudev. I confess to this arrogance. By sprinkling a particle of the pollen of the lotus feet of my preceptor, crores of people like you will be saved. So there's an important point, that if by taking this responsibility of being guru, you can sprinkle the dust of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, then that that will save. There is no such learning in this world, no such sound reasoning in all the 14 worlds, in any man or God, that can weigh more than a solitary particle of the dust of the lotus feet of my Gurudev. My Gurudev, in whom I have implicit trust, can never spite me. I am no means willing to listen to the words of anyone who wants to hurt me or to accept such a malicious person as my preceptor. May all of you have pity on me, the most heavily handicapped of all creatures, inasmuch as you happen to be of liberal disposition. You are always forgiving many persons of all sorts. May you do good to us by sincerely pardoning even this most arrogant of persons, who is no other than myself. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it seems he caught a current, or maybe someone had made a comment, and spontaneously he spoke all these things. So you can say, well, that's all very good, all well and good, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying this, but who am I to say such things? The same principle applies. The order is there to continue the disciplic succession by giving diksha and shiksha, and that should continue. And I can request my disciples, you're not supposed to see faults in the guru, but no doubt there are so many. So you come up to the proper standard and you go and shine forth and be great devotees and deliver the whole world, and may Srila Prabhupada's glories be expanded more and more now that you're coming in, being officially accepted into the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. It's a great commitment, and live up to the tradition. We are servants of such great personalities. One, as I was researching for material for inclusion in this book, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, I met one disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said that he mentioned that my Gurudev, that's Srila Prabhupada, and his godbrother, he said that his Gurudev, that's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was just like a lion. And he said that your Gurudev was just like a lion. And he said to me, you should also be like a lion. So I'm just like a lion cub with just... I consider that lions don't give birth to rabbits. So if we want to be a real disciple, we should be take mercy and distribute it. It doesn't mean we have to literally rip people to pieces. But like Nrsimhadev, he ripped to pieces Hiranyakashipu and was protective of Prahlad. So we should drive all this atheism out of the world. So that initiation will be a little later. That's been compared to, it's been advertised to the public as an ordination ceremony. It's something they can relate to, because in Christianity they have ordination of priests and nuns. But actually I was thinking that the first initiation is more like a baptism. Just you're admitted into it. But then they say, well, baptism is when you're a baby, right? You don't know what's going on. You don't have any choice. They do it when you're a baby, because the idea is if you happen to die later, you'll go to hell if you're not baptized. So you're given it as... There is a sect, I believe it's Anabaptists. They don't do it until later, when you're old enough to consider whether you want to do it yourself. But then I don't remember being baptized, because I was just... probably 2 or 3 weeks old at the time. But I do remember what they call, in the Catholic tradition, the confirmation ceremony, in which you're supposed to confirm, yes, I really want to be a Roman Catholic. But they did it when I was 12, and I was still not quite old enough to say no. So I had to do it anyway, so it comes to the same thing. So this is more like a baptism, that you decide for yourself, this is what I want to do, and you're formally accepted. And the Brahminical initiation, I was thinking that's more like an ordination, where just like the priests or the nuns or the monks, they have a special commitment. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're more spiritual than lay people, but generally it's expected so, because they've decided to fully give themselves full time only for Krishna conscious activities. So just like a priest in the ordination, they're rigidly trained for several years in theology, and they're expected to have very high moral standard. And traditionally in the priests, they would have matins, which I believe is 8 times a day. They have various services in which they meditate on the life of Jesus, and different prayers they have to say. And they're full-time. They don't do anything else. So I would like to see the standards put up a lot for Brahminical initiation, so we can actually create a class of Brahmanas who others can look up to and who are competent to guide others. Otherwise, like I say, just putting a thread on someone, it doesn't really convert them into a Brahmana. As a Vaishnava chanting Hare Krishna, already more than a Brahmana in that sense. But to have a class of Brahmanas, they should be outstanding and different from others by their activities. Hare Krishna. We'll finish this talk here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. And now I'm teasing Mother Kamalini. I'm not supposed to joke with women, right? You have to give blessings to everyone. Yes.
No touching feet, please.
No touching the feet, she's asking for. We have lifelong book distributor. Bhrigupati Prabhu is famous as a lifelong book distributor. There are several. We have Nidra Mataji in Denver is going out. Mishra Bhagawan in Dallas. He doesn't do huge scores like you, but he does go out regularly. And then we have Gadagraja in, he's in Alachua. He's always trying to distribute books. And there's in Alachua also, there's Nat Adi Carter. Yeah, I had the privilege of going out on book distribution with him for almost a year. I was with him. Divyang, and there's Natak Gopal Mataji. She doesn't do full-time, but she's always busy and doing some Krishna's, and especially she likes to do book distribution. Gopapatni Mataji, still doing. So you can take the dust from her lotus feet. She won't be able to run away very quickly. That's why Krishna's arranged. There are reasons why you can't run away when you get older. That Udayananda told that story, right? Now I'm going, and then there's one story, another story, that he really wanted to touch Srila Prabhupada's feet. And when he went in for Brahminical initiation in America, he thought, Prabhupada, can I touch your feet? And Prabhupada said, that's all right. And in other words, to say no. And then afterwards, everybody was chastising him, why are you asking to touch Prabhupada's feet? And but he always wanted to touch Prabhupada's feet. So 1977, he went to Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada is enacting his pastimes of sickness, lying on his bed being massaged by devotees. And Trivikram Maharaj was there massaging Srila Prabhupada's feet. And Udayananda just thinking, I really wish I could do that. And then Trivikram Swami turns and said, Udayananda Prabhu, I have to go now. Would you be able to take over? And for about 2 hours, he had the opportunity. So there you go. Jai Prasade Pure Sarva Asha. By his mercy, all desires can be fulfilled. But you can massage Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet in the way that Bhrigupati Prabhu and others do it day after day. Massage his heart, make him feel very, very happy by distributing his books. And of course, there are so many ways to serve Krishna. So many ways. Hare Krishna! Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much to all my god siblings, especially for coming here and blessing me and blessing all the others here by your presence. The very fact that you've been serving Krishna all your life makes you very, very, very special people, much, much more important than all the demigods in heaven. The demigods in heaven are queuing up to take birth in this movement. We used to hear, right? So the young householders, they have a service to do. You've got to get them facility. These giving birth to children. And yeah, please bless the new initiates, all you senior devotees, and bless all the devotees. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyavicha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Dante nitaya charnakam.